today, I want to thank you for coming and welcome you to Oak Park, a great church, a church that just so happens to be too far, about 90 miles too far north of Indianapolis for me personally. I wish we could in some way move this church a lot closer to Indy, and I'd become a member and attend on a regular basis. But Joe called me a month or so ago and said that the kids had planned a special Mother's Day surprise for his wife, and so I thought that was really cool. Pastors' wives don't get Mother's Days off too often, and we're glad they have. I think I forgot something. I'm supposed to dismiss kids to go somewhere. So, kids, if you want to go somewhere, have they already gone? Then maybe we should just dismiss the adults to go somewhere else. We got free babysitting for the next hour. Let's enjoy that, right? Yeah, we can do this. Not good. Well, happy Mother's Day. We're so thankful for moms and wives and women in our lives. And maybe we're like the mom that had three sons that were just always competitive on Mother's Day. They always wanted to outdo each other's, you know, I'm giving mom this, well, I'm giving this. And so they've grown up, and one said, I'm going to give mom a Tesla this year. And the other one said, well, that's great. I'm going to give mom a brand new house. And the third son said, well, that's okay, but, you know, mom's a little older, and she can't read. She loves the Bible. I've been studying and heard about this parrot that has memorized the entire Bible. A seminary has worked with this parrot for 11 years and trained it that all you have to do is say the book, the chapter, and the verse, and the parrot will repeat that verse in the King James Version. Mom's going to love this. So they sent their gifts to mom. Mom wrote thank you cards. Dear John, thank you for the Tesla. It looks good in the garage. I don't drive much anymore. Dear James, thanks for the big house. I only live in one room anymore, but I clean the whole thing. Thank you. Dear Joe, you are a practical, loving son. The chicken was excellent. Maybe that's kind of where our gifts will go this week as we celebrate moms and all that they do for us. But we're so glad you're here. It's very unusual for me to get a chance to preach a Mother's Day sermon, and I thought hard, and I think prayed, and I thought, well, where do we go? You know, being a guest speaker is not easy. There's no rhythm, you know. You're in a series, and you got the next pattern. You know, I got 66 books to come at and look at and check in, and I'm just kind of come in, blow up, and blow out. You know, it's kind of what I do. And so where do I start on Mother's Day? There's so many good women in Scripture. There's so many good passages of women in Scripture. And where should we land today? But I thought just to kind of to take my mom's advice, if she was here, she was a faithful prayer partner of mine. And every time I'd go preach, she'd pray for me, and she'd say this, Todd, remember, be bold, be brief, and be gone. So that's what we want to do today, in honor of my mom. Be bold, be brief, and be gone. But let's look at Proverbs 31. We got to go there, right? Yeah. Proverbs 31, kind of the description of a noble woman, a woman who loves and fears God. And our goal here is twofold. One, just to celebrate the Scriptures and read this. And two, to celebrate women in our lives and God's role that they've given them. And then maybe encourage us a little bit of what are some of the standards that God's So Proverbs 31, let me just read a little background into this. It's the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs were written primarily by Solomon as instructional wisdom literature, just principles to live by, good standards. And we come to this last chapter, and the last 22 verses, it's an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? N is for the many things you taught, O is for getting old, you know, the acrostic. And so they've taken the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, so on and so forth, gamma down, through the entire Hebrew alphabet, and have just written those down on pages, and then come up with characteristics to describe this noble woman, this woman of character, this godly person that God would esteem and that we should look at. So there's 22, at least in the Hebrew text, 22 verses here, all an acrostic, because they want us to memorize this. This is not something like Paul would do to kind of plead his point, and it's not building on each other. It's just 22 separate individual thoughts about women. And here's what it says. Alf, verse 10. Alf would be a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family, portions for her servants' girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that she's trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed with fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected in the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates.
Amen.
He says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward. He says, there's this woman, this person. It's not a perfect person by any means. It's not an ideal person. It's just a noble person. A woman who is doing her job. And I think there's at least three things that we can find in this scripture that we can take home today, that we can praise, that we can honor. First of all, I think the thing that we can look at in this acrostic is that she is focused on others. You notice in this passage how much she does for others. The folks, her husband comes up. Her children come up. The poor come up. Her servants come up. The needy come up. But she selects wool. She sews. She shops. She cooks. She gardens. She does all this, but not for herself. Notice the focus here is always on others. Moms, thank you. Thank you. this world that says, focus on ourselves. I need to focus on my rights, my body, myself, my stuff. A woman that fears the Lord, the woman that God is talking about here that is noble, is one that says, I found the true avenue, the true passage to happiness is not in self-focus, but is in others. What's that song we used to sing long ago? Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy, right? That idea that as we, it's that oxymoron, it's that paradox in Scripture, that as I focus on other people, as I work on putting Jesus above myself and then others in the next place, somehow out of that kind of pyramid, I find real joy. And this noble woman has found that. And she's learned to fear the Lord. And by fear the Lord, we don't mean someone that runs from the Lord, but runs to the Lord. Another paradox in Scripture. The fear of the Lord is not someone that is so afraid that you're running through, but so afraid that you have to stay close to. That the fear of the Lord is one that I'm afraid to get out away from. I'm afraid to escape from. I fear the Lord and I find him, Psalm says, as I fear the Lord and I find my lodging in him. It's the idea that I am afraid to be away from the Lord. And he says, we focus on others. The saying here is, man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. And it's so true. It's so much of that work is on others. Thank you. Thank you. And we want to reward you and want to praise you because you have earned that focus. You've earned that value of looking towards other people, forcing us to do a better job in our culture of looking towards being conscientious, of being aware of those around us. I can remember many times when my wife would come down as my kids were small and say, your son needs you. And I'd go, what? I remember one time, we were struggling. My son was about 5 or 6 years old, and we were struggling with him staying in the bed. You know, you put him down, and you do the whole thing. You do the, okay, go to the restroom, okay, take a drink of water, okay, here's your teddy bear, okay. You're in bed now. I'm going to stay in bed. It got so bad that we don't turn us in. Maybe stop the CD, that we reverse the lock on the door. I don't recommend that. I'm not going to put that in any books. But we did it. It worked. But it also created a child who would cry out, Mommy! Daddy! Because he couldn't come out of his room. And one night, we just put him down, and I was in my lazy boy, getting ready to watch the game, and here it starts. And it went on and on. And my wife started to go, I said, no. We're not going to fall for this. So she sat there. He kept going. She said, I'm going to sign up. Something's better. So she goes in. And then she comes out with that look on her face. This is out about 10 minutes. Mommy, Daddy, she says, I think you need to go talk to your son. So I go in there, and I say, okay, bud, what's up? Dad, I just want you to know I just prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. How do you get mad at that? He'd been listening to us a tape. We were putting down the tape and a salty tape. And in that salty tape, it said something about asking Christ to come into your heart and receiving as your personal Savior. And he said that tonight, this happened to be the night he was going to do it, and he just wanted us to know. I'd still be my lazy boy, and he'd still be screaming out that my wife hadn't taken the initiative to know the difference in the call out and be aware of that and be conscious and focused on other people. You just have that instinct to know the difference between a cry that's really a cry and a cry that's not really a cry and a cry that we need to respond to. We're oblivious to that. But the God-fearing, the woman of noble character is a woman who has that focus on other people. Secondly, she has a fearlessness about tomorrow. Look at verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. I love that. She can laugh. She's not afraid. She's not anxious. She's not worried about the days. She can look at what's in the future, and she's fearless about it. She's fearless about it. She's not worried. She's not upset. She's not fretting. She's confident in what she's done and what she's prepared. Verse 21 says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. I used to live in Wisconsin. And you think it gets cold here. Wisconsin, there is still snow on the ground. Where we lived, I could look out my office and I could see a ski slope, and we would celebrate the day when we couldn't see snow on the ski slope out that window. And it usually didn't happen until June. It's cold up there. And I didn't realize how serious winter can be until I moved to Wisconsin and I ran out of gas. And I had four kids in the car. And I'm stuck on Highway 53 going north, 2 miles from a gas station, with kids. Do you leave them and go? It's before cell phones. So all you young people got it figured out and say, you know, no problem. We didn't have cell phones back there, right? Do you leave them? Do you go? Do you take them with you? Do you pray somebody comes along? But the noble woman, the woman who fears the Lord, she is prepared. She's packed the blankets. She knows that you're going to run out of gas. She knows that you're a knucklehead. She knows that you're going to make mistakes. So she has to not just prepare for herself and her kids. She has to prepare for the eventuality that you are going to mess up. And she can laugh at it. She sees. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She's prepared her kids. She's got the snacks in the car. She's got the eventuality of everything happening that's going to happen, and it's all prepared. She's fearless. Some of the things that women have to do today just blow my mind. But this morning on Yahoo, I was looking through, and they had this annual Money Magazine's Value of a Mother. And they had it kind of proportioned out of what is the photographer, a teacher, a nurse, a psychologist. And they list about 40 things that a mother is qualified to do. Her total value is $178,201 annual salary. So just tell your husbands that. But if he wants to start paying you that, you'll quit your job tomorrow. And she didn't get that. But she does that. She does all that. Focused on others. Fearless about tomorrow. And then he says, faithful in instructions. Faithful in instructions. Verse 26 says this. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instructions is on her tongue. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons that were in the ministry. All of them were pastors. They were all at a convention one time, and a guy was kind of goading them and trying to be competitive with them and said, okay, your dad's a pastor, your three brothers are a pastor, you're a pastor, who's the best preacher in the group? And without hesitation, all four boys said, my mom. And I think that's true. A noble woman gives great instruction. Who do we go to seek wisdom? It's our mom, usually. Who is it the one that we need counsel from? It's our mom. I wrote down some of the things I say today to my kids. Come straight from the words of my mom. She would always say this. She would say, Todd, people who are as busy as bees may someday find their honey missing. She'd say, people who burn the candle at both ends aren't as bright as they think they are. My mom was a teacher for 20-some years. She spent the last 6 months of her life in hospice care on her bed. It was rough. I did things for my mom that I never thought I would have to do for a person. Rolling her over towards myself, cleaning her, washing her. But her mind was still bright. I said, Mom, tell me about the classes you taught. She said, I never taught a class. I only taught students. Think about that. One of the last events, I go over on Sundays and babysit while my dad would go to church. My dad's still alive, he's 95, lives by himself. He shouldn't, but he's dad, you can't tell him that. So I'd go over on Sundays and Mom and I watched church together. And we'd watch some of these great, great Bible teachers. And one of them was giving proofs of the resurrection. You know, like kind of a apologetic sermon on the proofs. And my mom looked at me at the end and said this, and I wrote it down. God didn't have something to prove. He had something to offer. And I said, Mom, what do you mean by that? She said, He didn't have anything to prove. He came just to offer love to us. I'm like, day that she passed away was in September. Ohio State was playing Oregon in football. And so I was with my mom. We were watching the game. My dad had been up all night with her and he needed rest. And so I said, "Dad, I got her. You go take some rest. We'll just sit here and watch the game." Ohio State was her favorite team. She was born in Ohio. Her parents graduated from Ohio State. She played in the Ohio State Marching Band, which is a big deal. You know, the band does the script and all that. And so she was pretty agitated. Now, it could have been the morphine that she was on, but it could have been that Ohio State was losing really badly. And she said, her last words to me, "They really stink." And then she died that night. You know, I think of my mom, a lot of stuff I miss about her. But what I miss most are those talks. That's something that nobody else can replace. No one else can fill that gap. Somebody else can focus, help me focus on others. Somebody else can show me, you know, about the future, can instill fearlessness into me, can help me prepare. But there's only a few people in my life that have that ability to listen and talk at the same time into our lives. And moms, you got that. That's your God-given ability. And use it. Don't allow this world to make you hesitant about speaking into the lives of your kids. Don't allow this world to make you hold your punches back and say, "Well, we'll just let them go." You know inside your heart what's going on. You have that intuition of what's right and what's wrong. You have that sense. And I think it's God-given to speak into people's lives with wisdom. Use it. Because that's what our world's missing. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, a day that we should celebrate every day. Because the women in our lives have that ability. The focus causes us to focus on others. To cause us to be fearless about the future. Have the ability for us to faithfully instruct others. But to all of us, I challenge, rise up. Rise up and lift up the women in our lives. To be very serious for a moment. Because if your mom had passed away this year and you stood up here, I don't want you to be filled with regret of what you should have said to her before she passed away. Amen. not coming up with what to say to you. Because I love talking to you guys. But thinking of what I should have said to her. That I can't anymore. So young people, rise up today and tell your moms, tell your grandmas, tell your sister the nice things about them. Men, pick up the phone, make the phone calls. Because you may be standing up here next year. Father, thank you for your love, for your grace, and your goodness to us. And we thank you. We thank you for the women in our lives, the moms, the grandmas, the wives, the sisters, the daughters that we have, and how uniquely designed they are, created and planned for the foundation of the earth, and how gifted they are to help us be better people, and help us to rise up and speak up and share with them how grateful we are that they love you, that they love us, and they make us better. Father, you're a wise, wise God. And you know exactly what we need. And we thank you for filling those needs through the women that are in our lives. Now bless us today as we go. Keep us safe. Give us much joy and happiness as we celebrate today. And for those today that are hurting, that are discouraged, that are sad, may we find our joy in you as we put others and you first in our lives. Comfort those who are sad. Strengthen those who are weak. And give wisdom to us all as we live in a world that is